This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and out of Greg, don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
He is the most self-grandizing, self-flatulating, narcissistic, pompous putz in the history of mankind.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Guest list is like, what was that thing that Trump just had to get into? Very, very difficult to get on.
What do you mean?
Remember, like, he had the thing where people went and seen him speak or something just recently? Are you just speaking somewhere?
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tangent.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
Right. Tatum never does that. He never is like writhing in pain on the court. Ever.
You ever roll your ankle like that?
Isn't it writhing?
Oh. I'm terrified to say anything.
No.
I believe the word you're looking for is writhing.
Writhing.
It might be writhing.
Well.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Go put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis.
Curtis texted me with some exciting news.
Oh, right, we're not talking about that?
Okay.
I actually just paid my Eversource bill on my own.
And Shime.
This is sad. It's Dragon Dance.
Dragon Dance does not decrease defense. Your question is wrong again, so I'll take my bonus point.
Man, this is a
Dragon Dance. Right, Dragon right, Dance only on. Increases the attacking speed of a Pokemon. It does not decrease stats.
Now.
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbors.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
On behalf of New England Patriots fans everywhere, can I ask, are we back?
We are, I would say we're probably about a knee deep in the pool.
Are we back?
We're heading back in that direction.
I think we're back.
It's a good one.
And Greg's whisper just gets louder and louder.
I don't know about what the whisper. How does this affect, how does Steph Diggs becoming a New England Patriot affect the whisper?
I don't think it gets
more people on board for Hunter.
But I don't think affects it. I think it's more about what the complete opposite, isn't it?
It may be that it opens up the opportunity for the Giants to take your guy, Travis Hunter.
When you look at everything that happened yesterday, wouldn't it indicate that the Giants are probably taking Travis Hunter at number three?
Because they signed Russell Wilson, correct?
And they have Jameis Winston, so they're probably not taking a quarterback now, which means that they're taking a player, not a quarterback, which probably means the quarterback's going 1-2, like we were talking about yesterday in my upcoming mock draft.
I still think that the Pats are taking Travis Hunter.
I keep reading like people like Schefter or whomever suggesting that the Giants love Shedeur Sanders and signing Russell Wilson doesn't necessarily mean that they won't draft.
But why sign Jameis Winston too?
Because it's $4 million a year,
right? But you're not going
to
have.
What if you need a guy to get something from the grocery store? And you don't have any money.
But I get
crab legs.
I get the fact that it's only $4 million. But if it was just Jameis, I'm cool with it. But why are you going to sign two veteran backups? Or two veterans that would be fighting for a spot, because you're only going to keep one of those.
Shedeur learn under Russ?
Well, you're not going to keep both Russ and Geno Smith. Jameis Winston. You're only going to keep one of them. So signing two of them.
Let me tell you why they're not going to take Shedeur. Because Daboll is on the hot seat. And if you use a pick on a guy that you likely won't play much of the year, when you could have Travis Hunter making Russell Wilson, you know, let's ride, I feel like that is a more likely thing. I think the reason the Patriots signed Diggs in the timing there it had unfolded on with last night is because the second they saw the Giants out on a QB, they needed to get the receiver they were going to get it for, which is why Greg's whisper was correct.
Meaning that they weren't confident that they could get Travis Hunter, and their intention had been to draft Travis Hunter and utilize him as a wide receiver.
It was the first aggressive offensive move by the Patriots since they signed Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and Greg, your whisper was right. They love Travis Hunter. They just don't think they're going to get him.
That's not really what the whisper was.
What it was. That's what Greg said on the show.
That was my whisper.
Yeah. No, I thought if he's still there, they're going to take him.
Yes, which is why they love him. But he's not going to be there.
Maybe he will. Excuse me. Pass the word on the streets. Uh-huh. We're back. Yeah. Okay? Curtis, can you pass the word on the streets later on?
We'll let him know.
But even with the Steph Diggs, I would even if you still wanted Travis Hunter, I still like the Steph Diggs. Yeah. I would have rather them have the plan, we're taking Hunter, but we're also bringing in Diggs, because then it just gives Hunter and some of those other younger players a veteran presence in that room. I just wouldn't want Travis and a bunch of young guys.
Yeah, but maybe he will be available. Maybe he ends up being available, and then you can't. I mean, now we're gonna have the argument about Steph Diggs and what kind of guy he is in your locker room, and is he gonna be somebody who can mentor Travis Hunter, or is he gonna be a poor example for Travis Hunter?
Well, he's not poor.
He's never been an issue.
By the way, Curtis, they spent a lot of money on Steph Diggs yesterday, way more than I thought they would have to.
Yesterday, I was so ready today with that Tom Curran nonsense propaganda BS
about DK Metcalf.
Just about everything.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Tom Curran. They are cheap. They spent at the bottom of the NFL for a decade. We give the Red Sox crap when they're outside the top five. The Patriots were 32nd. Wiggy, how many NFL teams are there?
32.
Oh, okay. So let me do the math. Yes, that's cheap.
And it worked out perfectly, because I kind of said this is what he was going to get. It ultimately works out to a two-year deal for $13 million per year, the $26 million
that he gets. Yeah, on the guarantee.
Yeah, because they're probably looking at the first year, all right, we get as much as we can out of him because of the knee injury. And
they seem to be suggesting that he can be ready week one.
No, it's not.
That seems aggressive.
Yeah. Look what happened to Kendrick Bourne. Very similar situation. Hmm. Blew his knee out in October and then wasn't ready kind of till the next October. But I think it's a good move. And it shows that, all right, Diggs is not a long-term plan, But he's your plan for the next 2 years with Drake May, as well as whatever other pieces you're going
to
put around.
Can I ask a question to the people today that are in the Twitch chat and they're on social media, waking up at 6, getting ready for a long day of work to pay the bills? Why do you care if the Patriots overpay? Like, I mean this sincerely.
Yeah.
In what way does that negatively impact your life?
There's a guy, very nice guy, Dave, in my building who I was stuck in an elevator with yesterday, last evening.
The worst.
And he was raging about the fact that Stefon Diggs is old and washed and coming off an injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking the exact same thing, Curtis. It's not your money. Like,
well, it actually is. And if you, if you're paying tickets, if you're going to games, if you're paying for Patriots, you know, merchandise, why would you want the money to go to Robert Kraft's, you know, vacation?
Yeah, like, at least they're spending, and at least they are trying.
Right.
So
because they have nothing else to complain about. It's talking point. People just use it as the one thing to go to. That's why you hear it over and over and over again.
I think why people complain is they go, well, why, if you signed Steph Diggs, why weren't you in on a younger DK Metcalf?
Like, bingo. I think that. Well, but do you, so do you buy the reporting from, I'll call it reporting from Tom Curran, that they were indeed in on DK Metcalf and he did not want to come here?
No, why is that just coming out now? Why didn't that come out?
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Okay.
So why didn't he want to come here?
So that's fraudulent.
Yeah, that's fraudulent because he said he don't wants to go someplace warm and he wants to make $30 million. Right. He ended up in Pittsburgh and he makes $30
million. Yeah, but he may feel like, I'm not speaking for him, Pittsburgh is closer. I have no idea.
Closer to West
Coast. Closer to
the
winning.
Equator?
Not closer. It probably is closer to the equator. Yeah. You're the weather guy.
I don't deal in geography.
What do you know about the equator?
Ah, gosh. You know, I mean, it's great.
What nation is named after it?
Does that mean nothing?
Ecuador?
Yes!
Thank you.
Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
See, you're way better sober than you are when you're high.
I
like her high better.
Really? Poll? Yeah, Courtney, we should do a poll.
Courtney, can you say free hot breakfast?
Free hot breakfast.
Oh, much better than me.
But I think it wouldn't have mattered what DK Metcalf
like free hot breakfast?
Wanted because he was traded, so he has no say in the matter.
I'm not doing the reporting.
Right.
I'm just sharing what was burped into the ether.
Well, then I would say that's cap. Because the player has no choice in football.
This is Mark from Connecticut. Hey, Mark.
How's it going, guys? Wiggy,
yo.
Can you believe they ponied up the money? I couldn't believe it when I saw it last night. Mm-hmm. I absolutely couldn't believe it. Because as soon as he walked out the door, I mean, we were talking about it the other day on Monday morning that they let him out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm shocked. I'm shocked that they were able to get him back. I'm very shocked, but I'm super psyched.
Good. All right.
I still hope they get Travis Hunter, though. Still hope they get Travis Hunter because that would be a great wide receiver crew right there.
Yep.
But back to the Super Bowl, guys. Here we go.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. A little aggressive, a little early.
Yeah, it was interesting that they didn't just sign him when they had him. I mean, I guess with a couple days of maybe negotiation haggles. Maybe he wanted more money. And they realize, well, let me take the $13 million per year for the next 2 years because
maybe
I might not be able to get 16 is what some of the reports were.
I don't know what was out there for him, and I don't know if it was the term. Maybe he liked the 3 years. I don't know.
Right.
This is Jim from Manchester, New Hampshire. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I listen to your show every day. I'm a long-time caller.
Thank you.
Just going over, I mean, I think Stefon Diggs will do all right for them. And unfortunately, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. Born and raised in New Hampshire, but I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. But I think he's going to do all right. I think by them saying week one he's going to be ready to go, that might be cut it a little early, you know?
Yeah.
So I've been trying to reach out to you guys, but I was in a hospital for 2 weeks down in West Roxbury at the VA hospital.
Oh.
So I couldn't get through, but everything's good. I just want to say hi to Courtney.
Hi,
and
Jim.
Everybody. Oh. And Whitney and, you know, and Wiggy. Sorry.
Hi, Whitney.
And,
huh? Yeah, and Curtis, Mr. Happy.
Oh.
If you're not negative, you're not breathing.
I'm glad, in all sincerity, Jim, I'm glad you are and glad you're out of the hospital.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
thank you, Jim.
You're feeling better.
Well, we have a lot to get to on this morning's show, including our leads coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes. And then they said it after we eventually finish our leads, and we will certainly talk about what Nikita Zadorov said yesterday to try to clean things up a little bit over there on Causeway Street. So
he was moonwalking?
Well, yeah. I mean, how dare you ask a man a question after a loss and expect that his answer is what he really means,
right.
I guess would be a
the
good
emotions
way,
got him from the loss.
To summarize that. So we'll get to that and the rest of They Said It sometime during the 7 o'clock hour. And then the news with Courtney coming up at 7:45. Science, I believe, has provided Scheim with the greatest double burger consumption excuse of all time. And we will get that from science during the news with Courtney. And then we got a lot going on tomorrow because it's opening day, including, I believe, the front office report, first one of the season. So Mike Milbury is going to join us today.
All right.
And we can talk Jeremy Swayman and Zadorov and Boston Bruins with Mike Milbury at 8:20 this morning. And Mego will be in here with us at 9:00. And we will talk Celtics on a Celtics and Bruins Wednesday on the Greg Hill Show here at WEEI. But to start us off this morning, here is Courtney with what is trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the Health Connector for Business. We've been talking about it already this morning, but the Pats have their receiver. They signed Stephon Diggs to a three-year, $69 million deal, $26 million guaranteed. Elsewhere in the league, Russell Wilson is heading to the Giants on a one-year deal worth up to $21 million. So the Giants have Russ and Jameis Winston on their roster. The Red Sox sweep in Mexico, winning their second game 12-8. Happy opening day eve. The Sox now in Texas to take on the Rangers tomorrow at 4:05. The Celtics in Arizona to take on the Suns tonight. Tip is at 10. Xavier Tillman is out while Jason Tatum is listed as doubtful. Both the Seas and Suns riding win streaks. The Seas with 6 and the Suns with 4. The Bruins taking the ice at the same time. They're in Anaheim to take on the Ducks at 10. And companies interested in an employee health plan can go to mahealthconnector.org/business and filter right to premium value plans. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is warm out right now. I mean, given everything that's been going on, 34 degrees, feels like 35. Afternoon high, partly cloudy, 48.
Curtis, where do you stand as a weather smoke on the Farmer's Almanac?
I don't want to get crass, but I use it for toilet paper.
Okay. Okay. Because Farmer's Almanac suggests that it is going to be colder than usual all the way up until June begins.
Yeah.
Which is not, I don't like that.
Farmer's Almanac had us in an El Nino 20 years ago.
Farmer's Almanac also says we will get one more significant storm, snow and ice-wise, in April of all months, Curtis.
Yeah,
you're poo-pooing it.
I'm poo-pooing it.
Okay.
And, I mean, what does the Farmer's Almanac think about Steph Diggs? Can we get back to the big story?
Like, yes, we can.
I mean, Tom Curran wrong again.
That is the story of the morning. As Courtney said, New England Patriots have apparently found their wide receiver, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. It is a Celtics Wednesday. That means Mego will be in here at 9, and we will talk all things Celtics with Mego, and it also means one more sleep until Major League Baseball begins this Major League Baseball season. Red Sox tomorrow, 4:05. On the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox radio network, on this radio station, on the Odyssey app. Will and Will with the call. I'm endeavoring to get Will Middlebrooks to be on the show tomorrow, Curtis.
All right.
So, and I think Will Middlebrooks does a pretty good job.
He's the best.
It'll be Fleming and Middlebrooks to start the season on the Odyssey app, and you can listen to every single Red Sox game on the Odyssey app all season long. This is Mike from Florida. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
What's up, Mike?
All right, so with the Diggs thing, it could be good. He could be good. But as of right now, based on his last season in football and then, you know, prior seasons with other issues, we don't know what he's going to be. And I think everybody can agree on that. Now, my problem is if he's not, you know, if he's washed, he's not even the best receiver in the receiver room that we have now, because he's not healthy. You know, add together him not being healthy and the fact that he's possibly a toxic locker room guy.
Mike spent a full day here. A day, and Andy went to Davio's at Patriot Place.
So thank you, Steve, for getting him here.
Right. So I think they're comfortable with the potential that he has to be healthy. And I'm certain that they are comfortable with the kind of guy that he's going to be. We talked about it, I think, Friday out at Wachusett.
That's fine, Greg.
C.J. Stroud.
That's fine, Greg. But all I'm trying to say is if he's good, then great. But if he's subpar, if he's mediocre, it just looks like the same. But it just looks like the same kind of thing, the same kind of operations that the Patriots had under Bill Belichick.
What are you talking
about,
Mike?
Blame Bill anymore,
Mike? He gets $70 million. How many times have the Patriots spent that amount of money on a wide receiver?
They had opportunities to bring in other.
No, I'm asking you, like the old days. Give me another example of a free agent receiver, not a guy you trade for, at this price point for the Patriots.
Putting the money out there, when you could have got guys like Cooper Kupp
Diggs.
The same or less. Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Courtney.
The only thing that we've talked about when it comes to personality issues or locker room issues is that he and Josh Allen didn't get along at one point. If you look at other players that he's played with, they all seem to love him. And all I care about is that Drake May is happy. And Drake May has been posting about him, the signing, all night.
Yeah.
So he's very excited about having Steph Diggs in that locker room.
Yeah, it also depends on what kind of an individual is the quarterback is. And it seems to me like we talked about it. Mike kind of interrupted me, but C.J. Stroud had a great experience with him.
Yeah.
He didn't really
start having issues, whether it was Minnesota or whether it was Buffalo, till like year three. In Minnesota, he wanted new money. He didn't get that there, so he tried to shoot his way out.
What he wanted in Buffalo, too.
Buffalo, he wanted new money, and he felt like maybe they could have came to him a little bit more and kind of took some of his input on, you know, the game plan. But that was like year three, year four for him, where it's really a two-year deal with Steph Diggs. That's what it is. It's 2 years to give you a guy that potentially can help you this year, but more so can help you next year. And that's ultimately what this thing
Josh
is.
Josh Allen is a guy, as you guys have alluded to, is the most referenced quarterback when it comes to Drake May's potential, correct?
Uh-huh.
Josh Allen's first two seasons in the NFL, without Steph Diggs, 30 touchdowns, 21 interceptions, completion percentage in the mid-50s. His next 2 years, 73 touchdowns, 25 interceptions, a completion percentage in the mid-60s.
Prior to Diggs' arrival, there were questions about whether Josh Allen was going to be a good quarterback in the NFL.
Right, a project from Wyoming. People thought he was a bust.
Remember, he had to go back and work with, you know, somebody on throwing motion.
Yeah.
And everything. I mean, I just don't understand how you wake up this morning and the New England Patriots, who you have been screaming at to spend money, spend almost $70 million on a guy, and you're upset about it.
But because it's reactionary. Like, it's not...
But why would you react as a fan negatively when the team you root for spends money?
Because I want them to be proactive, Curtis. Instead of when they could have spent a little more money on a guy like DK Metcalf, who's younger, healthier, and probably better, And no, not probably, is better. They could have just spent a little bit more money and gotten DK Metcalf in the door, and instead they waited and waited and waited, and then the market settled, and then they're like, okay, let's bring Steph Diggs in now.
Yeah. I believe that they were told by Robert Kraft that you can spend what you want, but you're not giving up these draft picks. That Robert Kraft believes that you can only succeed long-term with sustainable rosters if you utilize the draft picks effectively.
But they wouldn't have had to give up much. It was a third-round pick.
I'm just telling you what I think. Bill Belichick, the reason he's not here, outside of the personal strife, was the draft sucked the last several years. So if they're able to turn that around this year, I believe Kraft said, okay, you want to go dance in free agency? You want to spend all this money on Milton and bring in Diggs, whatever? You can do it, but these draft picks are not going to be traded for other commodities.
But, and also, it's not a huge sample size, but when it comes to a difficult wide receiver, doesn't Mike Vrabel have at least a track record with regard to A.J. Brown and being able to coach somebody like that and have that player be happy?
Yeah, like, and I think there was some other issues like with Treylon Burks, the kid, Shine, remember they drafted
Arkansas,
him?
Yeah.
And there
like
was some
hunt pigs.
Yeah, there was like some other, like not like major issues, but just, you know, some issues that he had to deal with. I think the biggest thing where people, and this is why we really need to help people out, people see $70 million or $69 million and go, wait a second, you spent $70 million on an older guy who's coming off an injury. It's not $70 million. It's $26 million. Let's get that right. That's the amount of money that he's going to get over the next 2 years that is guaranteed. $26 million. So you spent $26 million to get Stephon Diggs.
And that wasn't the scuttlebutt, if I remember correctly, when it came to the issue between Diggs and Josh Allen, not football related, but Josh Allen was cheating on a girlfriend or something, and Diggs didn't approve of that. Was that not the what was floating?
I've never heard that before in my life. And so if you may know better than I.
Have you had any seltzer?
Yes. And if you know Diggs with the ladies, I don't think he was tripping on Josh Allen.
There's a viral video going on from his time in Minnesota where they're asking which teammate of yours would you not want to date, your sister.
Yeah.
And he was the runaway favorite.
He was the runaway favorite.
Oh, yeah. Diggs ain't afraid of knocking him down. Okay. I think he was knocking down Cardi B when she was pregnant.
Maybe he's a very moral man. I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Got the wrong Diggs on that one.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
No, that was, I thinking of Roger Diggs?
Maybe
that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
But okay. I think it's...
If I'm telling you, maybe?
Look, Google it. Yeah. Just Google it.
Yeah, but I think when you look at this, I think it's a great move by the Patriots. It's not a ton of money. It's $26 million.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know...
Google it.
I know Shine brought up DK Metcalf. Yeah, we would have loved to have him.
He didn't want to come here.
Well, I don't...
I don't like the clam chowder.
Yeah, see, I don't really buy
it's
that.
That's another excuse. Oh. Yeah. It's like saying the Patriots aren't cheap. It's the same thing.
Well, there's a lot to talk about this morning, and that's what we're here for. And the New England Patriots have a wide receiver, and let's go. Streets talking, Wiggy.
Yep.
Streets screaming about it. We're back. So we're going to get to They Said It coming up in about a half an hour, as long as we get all of the leads in, and we will hear from Nikita Zadorov, who is trying to clean things up after what he said about Jeremy Swayman and what we talked about extensively yesterday. So we'll hear that audio when we get to They Said It from Zadorov. But let's do this right now.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
That's Johnny, middle initial B, good, Sean.
Yes, it is, Greg.
It's good with an E, by the way. Chuck Berry, what made you choose that as the lead song this morning?
I heard somebody, I don't remember where, I just heard somebody talking about Chuck Berry like 2 or 3 days ago, and I'm like, oh, that would be a great lead song coming up this week.
What were they talking about?
Because I don't remember. I just remember hearing the name Chuck Berry.
He had some odd peculiarities, Chuck Berry.
That he did.
Somewhere Ken is throwing something. Because Shime used Johnny Be Good, and there's no Johnny that we're talking about.
Well, it's a great,
Johnny Football.
I mean, the man is a legendary guitarist.
Yeah.
Just having spent 5 years with that weirdo to my right, I can't imagine his personal anguish right now.
Different element back then, Greg, well, in the 50s and 60s.
He did some, when it came to the ladies, he had like a weird...
Yeah.
Did he try to hook up with Josh Allen's girlfriend?
No. They were a little bit younger
than that. He had a fetish. he had a thing that he liked them to do. But was...
Wasn't there a story about him with a coffee table, glass table?
Yes, he did.
Holy hell.
Glass table. He liked to look up through the glass table while he did
something. I told you, the 60s were a different time.
Okay, Sean, anyway, good morning. Hello.
Wow, you sued by 59 women?
Yeah, I mean, 58 of them probably.
You can run for president.
I mean, you know how that goes. One sues and then they all sue.
I mean, Courtney, remember.
Yes, he was sued by 59 women, but it was, as Wiggy said, it was a different time.
It was a different era in the
60s. I used to love that song.
What was the thing everybody went to? What the hell was the famous
studio
concert that everybody went to naked?
Woodstock.
Woodstock.
They were naked at Woodstock?
Yeah, that was like the whole, like... Woodstock.
You've never heard of Woodstock?
I've heard of Woodstock. Yeah. I didn't know everyone was naked. Yes. I thought everybody was just like on a ton of drugs.
Right. Yeah. Well, right now we're doing... I have a new game, by the way, that I was thinking about this morning while I was getting ready. Stump the Millennial.
Okay.
Like, we can ask Courtney about things like Woodstock see you. Like, Jackson could come in, ask you about something, and we'll get an answer from you.
Well, Jackson would ask about Boston Calling.
Yes. I love it.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Shive, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, so I... we're never going to be able to get rid of Elliot Wolf because, once again, everything's setting up so that he can fall ass backwards into one of the best players in the NFL draft for the second year in a row. Because it seems like, to me, the moves made by the New York Giants yesterday would indicate that Shedeur Sanders is not available at number 3, which means that he's probably going number 2 to the Cleveland Browns. So it's going to go quarterback, quarterback off the top of the draft, and then they're going to take Travis Hunter at 3, and you're going to fall ass backwards into the best defensive player in the draft in Abdul Carter, and probably the best straight-up pass rusher in the draft in Abdul Carter. And Elliot Wolf is going to keep his job yet again because he's going to point to it and be like, look, I found two of your cornerstones in Drake May and Abdul Carter. How can you fire me? And we're going to get stuck with this boob for another few years just because he falls ass backwards into good players.
Well, at least you get one of the two players that you wanted.
Yeah,
that's true. I'm not mad about it.
Yeah. If it goes that way.
And I ultimately get the guy that I wanted more than any other player, and that is Abdul Carter.
Yeah, that's who you have been wanting. When does your new mock come out?
April the 1st. Well, you guys are dropping the roadshow stuff, so I guess I'll do it April the 2nd.
Nobody cares about your mock. but do you have QB1 and QB2 draft order wise? You do.
Correct.
Okay,
yep.
Wow. So you are in that camp right now.
Yep.
The turntables have turned.
Okay. But then if you're the Giants, you're passing up on the opportunity to take somebody who could be your quarterback. Franchise quarterback of the future.
Well, I mean, if the first two quarterbacks are off the board, Jackson Dart is not worth a pick at number 3.
So you think Sanders isn't even there for them?
No, not at 3.
Huh. Okay, interesting. Shime, thank you. Curtis, good morning.
Hey, Greg. Good morning, everybody. So with the news yesterday, the Tom Curran nonsense can wait until another day. I finally understand the Kraft's thinking, I think. They believed that the issue with Bill Belichick was the packaging. That's it.
What do you mean?
They believed that the reason that they had to move on from Bill was because he didn't divulge enough information. He wasn't warm and cuddly. He wasn't, you know, out there saying, you know, we did this wrong last year. We're not going to draft for need. We're going to draft for this.
Okay.
So, because that's the main thing that shifted here. Where it's like they have these Patriots confabs with Mike Reese and Field Yates and Elliot Wolf, and they sit in front of season ticket holders, and they talk about their plans. And it's like Robert Kraft got an F this offseason up until last night around 6. And then it went to a B because they spent money. Like, it doesn't matter. We've done this with the Red Sox year after year after year. And the new owners of the Celtics, whatever they say now is irrelevant. If everybody remains on the team next season and they're in the second apron and they're going for a third title in a row, nobody's going to talk about the owner. If they do, it'll be, wow, great job. Like, thanks for continuing the success of your predecessor. Like, I don't know why these organizations continually waste so much time in PR when the only thing that matters is actually signing a guy. and it is somewhat concerning that the Crafts still believe that the issues that ended the prior regime were related to how we talked to the media. Bill Belichick did the same thing with the media for a generation, and he's still beloved here because they won six championships. Like, the only thing that matters with Kraft and this new regime is if they win and if he spends. Yet they still continually think it's what they say to the fans instead of what they do for them.
Excellently.
Yeah, fans don't care. Just pay guys money. That's it. Just bring guys in.
But some fans, as we have learned this morning, and I suggest we will continue to learn at times this morning, is you can pay guys. Mm-hmm. You can pay somebody like Stephon Diggs, and fans are still upset about it.
Yeah, I think you just got to let the fans know what the real money is, what you paid them. Yeah. So if you said, okay, so wait a second, we only paid Steph Diggs $26 million? Yeah. Oh, that's not that bad. Yeah, I thought it was 70.
So just explain that. So, you know, the deal is 3 years, $69 million.
Right, but the guaranteed money is $26 million. So what that tells me, it's basically a two-year deal for $13 million per year. I don't know what incentives might be based in there.
Right.
And then if he does well and he gets his third year, people are not complaining about that third year because that means he's done well in his second year to get that third year.
Mm, okay, all right. Now, Curtis, a texter points out that at least Jordan finds Bill warm and fuzzy.
True.
Apparently.
Well, the black card, at least.
All right. More leads coming. One from Courtney, one from Wiggy, and one from me next. Tomorrow on this show, on opening day for the Sox, Will Middlebrooks will join us at 8:20. And Sam Kennedy, the president of the Boston Red Sox, will join us at 9. In the Twitch chat, often there is a question about whether or not Wiggy and I have beef during the breaks because we are going back and forth. And we were not beefing.
No.
We were talking Celtic City Episode 4, which Wiggy finally caught up on. So
man, I love it.
We don't have time to talk about it now, but now that you have seen it, we can go over it later. So no beef.
No beef.
No current beef.
No. I don't have beef with anybody.
No.
Too old to beef.
When the light goes off, Wiggy just starts talking about something else.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, it is reality television.
Yep.
Whatever it is.
Oftentimes, it is he's talking about some sort of a female rapper.
Yep.
And
they're taking over.
Her booty. But whatever.
SZA. SZA's the one.
That's the one?
Yeah, SZA. Yeah, okay. SZA looks good.
Good to know you're in on SZA.
Yep.
We are going to get to They Said It coming up, but we have leads left. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. We talked about Dan Hurley yelling at Baylor about the refs, allegedly, on Monday. And, you know, it was a swing and a miss for me there. But we all agreed that we love Dan Hurley and we love his way in which he interacts with his players, the way in which
all love him.
I love him.
He's a bit of a hardo.
And I think he's earned that.
Perspective. He's earned it.
Okay. I think he's earned the way to be a hardo.
Yep.
Okay.
I love that. Don't really love the SID getting involved. There are now reports out that UConn Director of Men's Basketball Communications, Bobby Mullen, told Queen City News' Joey Ellis, who is taking the video that has now gone viral, he told him he would ruin his life if he didn't delete the video. That has since, of course, gone everywhere. And then he took to X, Mullen did, to write, PR man yells at reporter, news at 11. I have a journalism degree, and I know the difference between reporting and seeking out gotcha moments. My temper flared a bit in a moment of weakness after a loss, but I think the journalists I work with regularly would vouch for me. He has since deleted that tweet. Don't really love the SID doing this.
Yeah.
Dan Hurley can run his mouth, can say whatever he wants. He's earned that. He's earned the respect of everybody around him. The SID is supposed to be the person in between the coach and the media and kind of tempering a situation. Adding fuel to the fire, I don't think, is a good look for UConn.
Well, I read yesterday the police in North Carolina are investigating.
Yes,
because because it is a threat.
Correct.
Perhaps.
And it is. I'll ruin your life.
Okay. Like, I mean, relax.
Yeah. I mean.
So I mean, Dan Hurley should know that if he's going to be mother effing the refs, that it's going to be on camera.
And right.
Of course.
And I think he knows that.
And he doesn't care.
Yeah, because he said before, the cameras are always on me.
Right.
You know, so but that just shows that, like, that's the way we are today in our soft society, like with coaches, especially college coaches. All right, I get it in high school, but even sometimes, like, if a high school coach is cussing a kid out, it's like, oh my God.
But nobody was upset about the Dan Hurley thing. It's now the SID is saying, I'll ruin your life if you don't delete that. But
that also is a douche move.
Right.
Like, that's a douche move by the SID.
Correct. Right. Yes. And we agree on that.
Potential police investigation and the NCAA into maybe, like, doing, like,
they're talking about suspending Dan Hurley for games next season for it. And
taking away scholarships. That's really?
Ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Did you guys see the ratings of the first two rounds? The first two
highest
rounds?
Ever since, like, the 90s, right?
Don't you think this says that the issues with the NBA are related to the three-point shot now? Like, doesn't that solidify that belief? These games are starless, by and large, outside of Cooper Flagg. I don't know anybody. I just know the coaches.
Okay.
I don't watch college basketball during the regular season. I find these games entertaining. Obviously, legalized sports betting is a huge component, but that exists in the NBA as well. I just think the way the game's played in college, where it is not all hucking up shots from the three-point line, it is more entertaining to many.
But see, I think you know what it is about college? It's the pools. It gets all the novice.
But that's been the case forever. It's got the highest ratings in 30 years.
Yeah, but I don't think that you're talking about novice people who are doing a bracket at work or something.
Yeah, like in betting now.
And then they go on to watch every game. I don't know about that. I think people do a bracket at work or whatever, and they don't watch every game. Yeah, I think people, Curtis, get excited about the opportunity for a Cinderella.
But there were none.
Which there are not. And I think, like, unpopular opinion, because everybody is saying this is great. NIL is making it so the teams that should be, like, the number one seeds, the teams that should be in the Final Four are in the Final Four. I don't like the fact that there's not going to be an opportunity going forward for a Cinderella to make it, a Butler to make it all the way through. Like,
Well, look at St. Francis. They had to drop down from Division I to Division III because they can't compete with the NILs. I mean, but that's just the nature of college sports nowadays, is the ability, you know, the bigger schools are able to take advantage of that.
Yeah. I mean, Texter Curtis suggested it's all gambling related.
Right. Because nobody's gambled on college basketball before this year.
Well, but I think that it's like now, like, I don't want to say it's legalized.
Last year it was just as legal.
I don't know. It's just I find the basketball to be.
It's okay to disagree, but you can't say it's gambling.
No. But I don't think the basketball is more entertaining in college.
Well,
because
that's not what you watch the NBA. You're not somebody who doesn't watch it.
I watch college too. I just, for some reason, I'm like, they can't shoot in college for whatever reason. They're horrible. Like, the 3-point percentages by teams, they're like, God, they're awful. I don't know what it is. About why people watch more college basketball than they would, especially tournament time.
Well, because they're really, really good games. Like, I mean, how many games do you have in the NBA, in the regular season anyway, that come down to the last shot? Not as many.
Well, not in the regular season, but I would compare. Are we comparing the tournament versus the regular season, or the tournament versus NBA playoffs?
I think Curtis was comparing it to the ratings throughout.
Product. I mean, you have one sports league that is the same sport, one league that's the same sport that has ratings down, and you have one that has having the best ratings in 30 years.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's elements of gambling and other factors, but I just think the way the game is played in college versus the pro is a big reason.
On the topic of sports wagering, Shime, did you see that RJ Lewis had to delete his Instagram because of the death threats?
What are we doing? Why are people stupid? Stop making gambling hard to defend to other people by being a-holes.
Can you imagine that?
Just because the guy goes 3 of 17 from the field doesn't mean you need to give him death threats.
You knew that was going to happen, though, once everybody had the ability to.
No, I did not know that that was going to happen.
You knew it was going
to
happen.
I didn't know that grown adults were going to be reaching out to a kid in college who had a bad game and threatening his life. I didn't know it was going to happen, Wiggy.
They were I remember when I played, and it was like in the beginning stages, people were upset about fantasy football. You didn't think that now, like, regular people had the ability to gamble, it was legal, and now say, oh, I got the, you know, I'm I put a bet down that this guy's going to score 20 points,
yeah.
and he scores 19. You don't think that some guy is going to be like, you a-hole, I hope you die, and this because they lost the, you know, $150.
Well, I got a couple Trumps riding on Bentley over BC on Friday, so those Falcons better play their you-know-what's off, or I'm gonna be sending some DMs in the direction of Bentley University.
Oh, you get a
what did
nice
we end
return.
Up betting?
Huh?
What did we end up betting?
We haven't made a bet. No, right. Nobody ever pays off any bets on this show. Curtis owes us a tattoo. Wiggy owes me a bowl of soup. I don't bother betting.
Well, okay, and I don't want to go down the grumpy road with Greg, but the Trumps thing, I don't think it's sticking. I don't think anybody knows what you're talking about.
No, nobody knows. No one
does. Also, you owe a Moo dinner to Shime. So.
I do.
Well, what are we talking about?
Well, I had a scheduling conflict on the day that we had scheduled.
It's okay,
the
Greg. Don't worry about it.
I've said to Shime, let's schedule that Moo dinner.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of the BC hockey coach, but if he sent a text to Bryant with the entire game plan, I still think BC wins Friday night.
You mean Boy, I went to a great dinner last night, and I want to welcome a new sponsor partner to this show, Post 1917 in Reading.
I couldn't believe you were there because Santo has gone. Santo's mom's favorite restaurant, and they are obsessed. I've been waiting to go.
Place is great, and DMs and I took a beautiful ride up there in the Red Turtle. And we enjoyed lamb lollipops, and we split a wedge salad, arguably the best wedge salad on the East Coast, and then we split a filet.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Balance.
I mean, there may have been some mashed potatoes.
Not a fan of the wedge salad.
Yeah. Wiggy loves the wedge salad.
Yeah, I'm not really a huge fan.
Okay. All right,
looks
anyway.
Like there's mac and cheese or something as
no,
well.
No, there's no mac and cheese. No starches.
Oh, on the left that looks
no, I mean, there's mashed potatoes, but DMs ordered those. I didn't have it. I might have had one bite. All right, yeah. Anyway. Cool. Welcome to the show. just a heads up, if you'd like, we are here for you. If you'd like to be a partner of this radio show, this radio station, reach out on the socials, and we'll connect you. We'll connect you with Sales Smoke or anybody else, and we'll make the deal happen. All right. Well, we are going to get to Wiggy's lead and to my lead coming up next.